Welcome, everybody. This is Chairman Joe Davis. It's March 26th. Wanted to provide you all with an update. Obviously, you know, we're, as a community, we're still reeling and dealing with the loss of one of our young tribal members here. Wanted to let you all know that the tribe has been working diligently to try to do more for our youth. I'd like to thank Vice Chairman Haley, as well as the Tribal Education Department and our Executive Director and some of our partners and the Tribal Council as a whole. This last week, we were in the schools. We had some really productive listening sessions. I believe it was on Tuesday that we met with the juniors and seniors. And then yesterday, there was meetings also with the freshmen and sophomore. And instead of, you know, making presentations and kind of directing the youth what we think they should be doing, instead it was decided that we would listen and get their input. And I was there the first day for the juniors and seniors, and I believe yesterday was pretty similar, where the kids actually took it really seriously and they provided some really meaningful input. And one of the things that they had mentioned was that they would like to see more activities and more events, you know, extracurricular activities, whether that be sports, cultural activities, outdoor activities. And also they're not happy with the turnover at the school, you know, getting new administrators, new teachers every year, a lack of interactive learning where it's mostly just book work and not a lot of engagement or hands-on activities. Those are some of the major themes that I observed. Of course, we're going to have a final written report being put together by the Education Department that will help with you know, trying to work with the school to implement, you know, some of the changes and things that were requested. Next Wednesday, I'll be meeting with the council. We're going to ask Tribal Education, Recreation, TANF, and Kamau to attend and ask that everybody provide ideas for new events and activities that we can do and actually try to set some dates. And we think we've identified some funding opportunities to support that and hopefully just have more ongoing activities for our youth. And I'm happy to report that the youth center should be opening up hopefully in April. It sounds like maybe April 7th, the new flooring will start to come in. So that's probably the last thing that needs to be done. Thank plant management for the work they've put in to just make it a nicer, more safe facility for the kids. So hopefully we'll have the youth center open next month, you know, no later than the end of the month is the goal. Also wanted to share that we are interviewing for project manager on April 1st. This will be the person who takes the lead on the new skate park. As a council, we did set aside money this year to develop a skate park. That's something that we know has been wanted in the community for a long time. So hopefully by hiring this project manager, that can kind of kickstart and get the project going really soon. So looking forward to interviews for the project manager. Thankful to the council for dedicating the resources to go ahead and hire that position. So that's something that's moving in a more positive direction. The Education Department is also working to have a full-on youth council. They've had a couple meetings already, and they have some draft bylaws and governing documents. However, it's not fully up and running just yet, but hopefully we'll have an announcement on that and, you know, continue to recruit for more of our youth to take part in this leadership development initiative, you know, something that we can do. We've also started a new nonprofit. So Walter Gray has volunteered to be the chair for that. Also believe that we have a few other board members seated. They also have draft bylaws and governing documents. They will be, excuse me, they've already conducted surveys, and so they've evaluated the results of the surveys, both of youth and adults. They were separate surveys, which will kind of guide their goals and objectives as well as their mission statement going forward. But in general, you know, we want to go out and fundraise, solicit donations, and just have more resources available to support youth activities. And a nonprofit number has been issued now, a tribal nonprofit number through the tribe. So we feel this will help with fundraising and supporting our youth. Some of you may have been aware that we had an issue on the agenda a couple of weeks ago as far as a type of fee or tax that we would have on alcohol, tobacco, and soda. We wanted to get it on the ballot. It was not approved by the council. We fell one vote shy of that. However, there is a little bit of interest in, you know, whether or not we can still allocate within the 20% that the tribe collects. Most people know we have an 80-20 split. So 80% of the profits is set aside for per capitas, like the one that was paid out last December, and 20% is retained by the tribe. So the question now becomes, you know, can we allocate from that 20%, you know, a 5%, 5% of the revenues which are being generated on those items and still move forward with this new community wellness and family entertainment center. Certainly we'll be discussing it as a council. It won't move forward without any community input, but it's still something that is being discussed amongst some council members. So we're hoping to advance those discussions. I would just like to say, as part of that, you know, whether it's grant writing or using existing revenue streams, it is important that we develop a new community center or family fund center. It's a shame that so many of our families have to travel to the coast just to have a decent birthday party for a kid. And most of us feel that our community does deserve to have something like that here, where we can host, you know, gatherings, events, and not have to travel all the way to the coast. Like, you know, I've seen a lot of people down at Bear River for birthday parties, and really shouldn't be that way. Did want to mention our Indian Health Service negotiations. So we have the lead negotiator from Indian Health Service will be here April 20th and 21st. The council, we plan to meet with Kamau on April 15th, as well as our tribal fiscal department to kind of put in the last minute preparations for the meeting. We do have a draft narrative that was requested from Indian Health Service to justify increased indirect funding that we requested. So that is moving forward. It's really important that we increase our amount of indirect funding that the tribe receives for Indian Health Service, because the idea is that by better funding, you know, the administration of all of our programs, the healthier our community will be, the better our economy will be. So hopefully that'll lead to better health outcomes for the community. Also wanted to mention that the motel project is moving along. Plant management is now putting together furniture and, you know, getting the beds together and getting ready to install. We still need to complete the heating and ventilation as well as air conditioning work. So hopefully that'll be coming along soon. I think there was already one bid received, and plant management was hoping to get one more, but we don't have a manager yet. So if you guys know people, you know, that are interested, we definitely feel that, you know, the potential's there to make a significant amount of money managing our motel. So we encourage people to put in an application. I know before we had a request for proposals. We may modify that announcement just to try to solicit more bids or more applications, if you will. So keep an eye out on that. You know, we got to get a new motel manager. Also, we're looking at Bureau of Indian Affairs end of year funding. You know, most of the compact funded departments, we've requested that they submit proposals to Bureau of Indian Affairs. And some of them already have as of today, but we found out about some funding opportunities that will hopefully fund new projects. So we're working on that. Recently met with the planning department. I'm going to be asking the council to kind of re-clarify the mission of our tribal planning department. You know, in the past, there's been times of concern within the council, particularly of, you know, going after too many grants where the indirect costs are not significant enough to cover the cost of administering the grant, and it creates some type of deficit. So, you know, we got to figure out what grants we want to prioritize. We'd like to see a little more focus on that. Right now, our planning department has actually been administering some of the grants. And, you know, from my perspective, I'd like to see us get away from administering grants and targeting more grants that are worth it for the tribe to go after. Of course, they have to have the appropriate amount of indirect costs that come along with that. But there are some grants that could benefit us. And so we want to try to, you know, get the council's guidance on what types of grants to target, and potentially allocating more resources towards applying for those. Also wanted to mention the reorganization plan that I had put forth probably about a month ago now. It was approved for the LPA process. I have made some changes to that original document. I know that there were some mistakes in there with regards to the election committee as well as the court, you know, having that separation from out from under the council. And so I had revised that original version. There is another LPA hearing coming up on Tuesday, I believe. We did hold the first LPA hearing, and while there was a significant amount of opposition to the overall plan, a lot of tribal members did acknowledge the need to kind of reshuffle our organizational structure. As it stands, you know, the chairman's position oversees all 50 managers, and you know, if you look at other organizations, you really don't see that much. Even within the federal government, I mean, the president of the United States has 12 cabinet members, I believe. And so those 12 oversee these larger agencies. A good example of that would be the Department of Interior. So within the U.S. Department of Interior, you have the U.S. Bureau of Reclamation, you have the Bureau of Indian Affairs, you have the Bureau of Land Management, and you also have the National Park Service, all within the Department of Interior. And so the only one the president really deals with directly is the Secretary of Interior, who will oversee the other programs. It's difficult for one person to manage 50 different departments at once. And so ideally, if we had more divisions within the tribe, it would create for better oversight. A little more efficiency would be the goal. From my perspective, you know, we can't continue to do what we've always done. You know, if we're ever going to see improvement or positive change. And so I would ask that people take a look at the new version. I'll try to get that on the tribal website by next week, and maybe some kind of screenshot on social media or something. In any case, you know, it'll be up to the council ultimately whether it's going to be approved or not. I do think that there is added language within the resolution that I'll also include that kind of provides the rationale. And that was one of the things missing from the original version. So I just ask that people take a look at it and provide their input and have an open mind. I know one of the things that came forward during the LPA hearing was people felt it was a way to reduce the chairman's workload. And that's really not the case. I don't believe that the chairman's office's workload would decrease. it would just allow for a greater amount of focus in each sector of our government, whether that be the for-profit side, natural resources, social services, or any other division within the tribe that we have. And it would also allow for the chairman's office to focus on kind of higher level things, whether that be back in DC or new development projects for money making activities. It is tough to deal with the day to day, issues of that many different departments. And you'd be surprised at just the amount of complaints that come in every week on departments and, harassment cases and all those types of things that are all, handled between the chairman's office and HR. And so being able to have more delegated authority so that folks can, more adequately dedicate the time needed to investigate those types of things, would really, I think, open up our higher levels of government, the chairman's office and the council, to be more aggressive in expanding our tribal government or focused on the higher level things rather than getting pulled into these squabbles sometimes that happen between departments and individuals. Also wanted to mention that we're looking into some land acquisition. We know that within Title 10, we really should be allocating more of our rents towards land acquisition. That's one of the things that's been coming up lately. Mental health is also a major concern. So we have a follow-up meeting with Kamau Medical Center and Tribal Police on April 15th. We plan to circle back to discussions that we've had with them previously about the development of a crisis response team. As it stands, we kind of depend on the county MIST team, and I don't know off the top of my head what MIST stands for, but it is a team of clinical experts that can respond and work with police when someone's having a mental health crisis. The problem with the county MIST team is they're not always available to come to Hoopaw, especially after working hours or on the weekends, or even if they are available to come out, it can take them up to 2 hours or more to be able to respond. So we want to get more of our own doctors certified to designate someone as 5150 so that they can get the resources that they need. That is an area of concern still for the tribe, is to try to help with our mental health needs in the community and making sure the resources are available to those who need it. Also want to mention we're getting ready to hold interviews soon for a new roads director. Been a lot of candidates that have been vetted. Got it narrowed down pretty well now to just a few that are actually qualified. And so we're excited about the opportunity to have interviews really soon on that. We're working with Allied Universal to come in and help our grocery store streamline their inventory processes. The contract for that should be completed very soon. And so hopefully that will help with, inventory and things that could potentially drive down the cost of our groceries, hopefully. So we are working on the grocery store. Same with a contract with Sacred Eagle, which is a tribal member owned, consulting firm that will be taking the lead on our strategic plan. So we're hoping that contract will be approved within the next few weeks and we can kick off the process to develop a long-range strategic plan for the community. We're also working on a financial services contract with the Denodo Corporation, who will be working on getting our accounting system streamlined for our for-profit businesses, and we'll also be working closely with the entities to help with financials, with inventory, with all the operations that make businesses more successful. And so You know, we have to pay attention to our for-profit businesses in addition to social services, healthcare, natural resources, all those areas that the tribal government is focused on. We're also getting ready to, we're working on a contract with First American, who is the Native American owned company that supplies our gasoline. And they are actually interested in building a new gas station here. You know, they would build it for the tribe and we would pay them back over time with the revenues from that. I think that, you know, most people realize that we have outgrown our existing gas station, Mini Mart. It has been a very successful business for us. But if we had something larger and a little nicer, we feel that it would pay off in the long term. And there was actually a feasibility study done on that just a couple of years ago. So that's moving forward. I mentioned MMIP in the last update. Tribal Education has received a grant for MMIP. And a lot of the activities that they're doing now to work with youth are being funded by that grant. They have a couple of staff members who are doing cultural activities with the kids and also other fun type prevention activities. So that's one area that is moving along. Of course, there's other funding opportunities that we need to go after to create more support for MMIP survivors. But, you know, MMIP is still a major issue that needs to be focused on more by our tribe, and we'll be holding another MMIP meeting within the next month or so. So Tribal Fisheries also has been working really hard on the 50,000 acre feet. We're making significant progress working with the Bureau of Reclamation. That's an important, always important to our tribe, fishing and water rights. We're also working on updating some of our ordinances around fishing, making sure that non-tribal members are not coming here and extracting too much of the resources. We've been made aware that, you know, non-tribal member guides are coming through and profiting off of, you know, our river system and our fishery. I think that we want to continue to provide permits that allow people to come here and fish, but it really shouldn't be, you know, harvesting more than, you know, one or two steelhead or trout per day. You know, when the salmon fishery is closed for recreation throughout California, it's been reported to us that a lot of those people are coming here to Hoopaw to try to harvest salmon. So that's something that we must put a stop to as far as allowing non-tribal members to take salmon, especially when salmon season is closed. So we have the Office of Tribal Attorney working on some updates to our ordinances, and hopefully, you know, they'll be working with tribal fisheries, tribal police to make sure we're enforcing our ordinances. We have asked tribal police to put more focus on natural resources protection. So those are all going to be important areas. We're also still taking applications from TARO or for TARO to allow folks to go to school to operate heavy equipment. We know that a lot of our heavy equipment operators are getting close to retirement. We just don't have enough people to operate our equipment, whether that be for tribal roads, fishery restoration projects on the Upper Trinity, or even at HFI. And so we want to get more people skilled and qualified in that area. Please contact our Tribal TARO office if you're interested in attending the trainings that will be coming up for that. That is an important aspect. Also, you know, we've been working with the Bureau of Indian Affairs on our fire reimbursements. We had some productive meetings last week. I understand that Sacramento office had sent some folks up to work with our tribal fire department, so we should be getting some more reimbursements coming around fire, which is great news. this Friday I'll be meeting. I was invited to come and meet with some of the basket weavers over at Tribal Forestry, and they want to talk about cultural fire. So that's also an area coming up. Wanted to let everyone know I was able to go to Washington, D.C. last week as well and testified in front of the House Appropriations Subcommittee on Interior and Related Agency Affairs. I felt that it went fairly well. We'll provide a link to that. You can watch the testimony probably next week sometime. There is a link that was posted to that previously on the Tribal Facebook page, and I believe it's about an hour and 30 minutes into the testimony that I had my allotted time, and so people can check that out. We have a new consultant in DC who helps us connect with federal agencies, elected officials, and so I appreciate that they did a good job. During the time I was there, I was able to also meet with high-level folks from the U.S. Department of Agriculture, the Senate Committee on Indian Affairs, as well as Congressman Mike Thompson, who used to represent our area. He's now down, because of redistricting, I think he mostly represents the Napa area now, but also was able to meet with our current rep, Jared Huffman, as well as Senator Padilla and Senator Schiff. So I got to see both California senators during my time there. And really the overall purpose of those meetings is just to remind them that, hey, they really should be supporting tribes around the trust responsibility. You know, we've given up so much to have that here, whether that be over half of our water being diverted to Southern California, which was a massive transfer of wealth away from the reservation to Central California, or giving up 2/3 of our land, loss of language, loss of culture. Our tribe has paid a heavy price to have that support from the federal government that falls short of where it should be. And I just reminded those folks that it's a good investment in Indian country to help, you know, pay back the tribes, as well as also support the great work that we do, whether that be in fire, forestry, fisheries. These are all really positive activities that, you know, keep our people on a good path. And so sometimes it's important to remind them that. You would think, you know, that they would already know or they should understand that, but it isn't always the case. So we have to continue to let our voice be heard, and appreciate the council in sending me back there, and also our tribal departments who provided a lot of great information that went into the testimony and the information shared in all of the meetings back there. So it was a good overall trip. So with that, I don't have a whole lot of other updates at this time. We do have some time for questions. I don't know if any tribal members have any questions that they'd like to ask. We have the Two Rivers Tribune folks here that will kind of share with me what the question might be.
So Daryl Moon Sr. asks, what about opening a jiu-jitsu gym? That would do a lot for self-esteem and confidence building for our youth.
Daryl Moon Jr. mentioned, senior mentioned, opening a jiu-jitsu gym that could build up confidence for youth. And I would have to agree with that. You know, I think that's a great idea. It kind of bums me out because I have friends on the coast, and actually my little nephew that participate in that, or their kids participate in that. But our kids don't really have that opportunity here. And so I think that's a good idea. Definitely something we can talk about, you know, maybe figure out the space for it, where that may be. We would have to hire the trainers and folks that can teach that. I definitely think it's doable. And so I will definitely add that to a list that we can discuss with the council. I know that, you know, when I was a kid, my dad was involved with the Hoopa Panthers Boxing Club, and that was a really, you know, the kids that were a part of that were doing much better when the club was running, and it helped them with their confidence, self-esteem, and it's just a positive outlet. And hopefully we can do something like that. So I appreciate that comment.
Another question from Carlos Estrada. What resources are or will be available for tribal members working toward home ownership or land development on the reservation, whether on trust or fee land?
Yeah, Carlos Estrada asks about the housing opportunities for tribal members, either fee or trust land. That's a great comment, Carlos. I can say that, you know, tribal housing is continuing to build homes. I believe that they have a few more on the docket for Campbellfield, but also I believe Hoopa Development Fund is working on trying to make some home loans available. And there are grant opportunities, particularly through the state of California, to create more housing in our communities, which I have been sharing those opportunities with housing. I know they're vetting those out. They have received some state and other federal funding opportunities in the past. Our housing director is part of the National American Indian Housing Board. And they're always pushing towards HUD to try to make more funding available for home building. I believe they still have the 184 program as well through housing, which is for home loans. One of the things that came up during my meeting with USDA is that USDA also provides funding for housing as well. So I'm hoping that we can take the time to look into those opportunities. I also know that Denodo is working with Remo Homes, and they're interested in maybe developing a partnership with the tribe to hopefully build more homes. And so there are opportunities that are being looked at. Definitely we have a long ways to go. Housing is a major need here on the reservation. There's such a shortage here and throughout the state, but I agree. I mean, we really need to put more focus on that. And I'm hoping that some of these opportunities we are looking at will yield results soon.
Another question from Kimmers McCovey. Will the funding you're requesting from Kamau pay for qualified mental health clinicians in reference to the earlier conversation about the crisis intervention team?
Okay, I think what Kimberly Davis is asking, Kimmers, is the funding we're requesting. I think it's through Indian Health Service for Kamau, right? The indirect negotiations. The negotiations that we have now are mostly for indirect to pay for more of the administrative side. We do have an annual funding agreement that covers a lot of other areas that basically cover some of the mental health services that are currently offered. As far as being able to increase that, you know, I'm hoping that we can discuss that at our meeting with Kamau on the 15th, as far as, you know, what additional funding is available in their budget to increase the amount of access to mental health services. You know, I think part of the problem we see now is that there's a stigma with getting services or, you know, asking for mental health support. And so some people aren't taking advantage of the services that are already there. Others come and they're in crisis mode. And, you know, instead of being directly to the counselors, they're asked to fill out forms and make sure that, you know, the funding is going to be there for whether that be insurance or Medi-Cal. And they're not really in the state of mind to do that. So I think maybe one of the requests we can have to Kamau is like, hey, can we get these folks into the services first and then maybe worry about the paperwork afterwards and, you know, get somebody that can talk to a family member to help them complete those processes, because that seems to be a hurdle in getting people the mental health services they need is that, you know, it's like any other time you go to Kamau. I mean, I don't know about everyone else, but it seems like almost every time I go there, I have to fill out a big packet of paperwork. And I'm like, man, I just filled this out the last time I came in. You know, I'm not sure why we have to do that. But, you know, that's one of our internal issues I think we need to discuss and figure out. Hopefully we can get that fixed so that it's easier to get those folks on board. But as far as the negotiations that are going to be happening on the 20th and 21st with IHS, it's more on the indirect side. I think as far as direct services, part of the issue there is also just using the funding that we already get to try to hire more people in that area if there's still a shortage. I know that every year Kamau has a lot of vacant positions they don't fill. And so I understand that, you know, they've been putting more of a focus on trying to recruit and retain. So hopefully that'll also show results over time.
And that concludes the questions from the chat. I have a question. The TRT is working on an article this week about the new education building. Can you provide an update on the new education building and what plans are for the new building?
All right, thank you, Ali. So her question from Two Rivers Tribune is on the new education building, getting the plans and the, you know, what are the plans, I guess, for the building and probably like the timeline and when it will be completed. I'll be honest, I don't know what the timeline is right now as far as completion date. I see that they're making progress all the time, which is, you know, makes me happy. I'll have to reach out to either Walter Gray, who's the construction manager over there, or education to have them remind me of when exactly the completion or opening date will be. What I can say as far as the activities that will be there is, you know, it will be a positive place for our kids to come and get help with their academics, you know, hopefully have a good learning environment there. Not only on the academic side and getting support with their homework, but also cultural activities, you know, coming in, probably some language will be done there, maybe some basketry or, you know, bow making, learning how to process acorns or willow sticks or all those sorts of things. I know that's going to be an important component of the education center. Also, community events, you know, for our youth, you know, could be potential for some classes that happen there. But really it's just providing as many resources as possible, educational resources, books. I'm not sure if they're going to have their own formal library, but certainly they'll have books with resources there and staff there who can really just be a part of the kids' lives and provide some positive mentorship and activities and a place for kids to go that's a healthy learning environment. All right, well, that concludes our questions. Thank everybody for taking the time to tune in. You know, I plan to be here in probably another 2 weeks. Thursday, we'll have another update. And until then, I encourage everybody to stay safe, stay healthy. You know, feel free to volunteer. You know, a lot of youth stuff going on. I know they had a successful men's meeting. I believe there's another one scheduled. Hopefully we'll start to get some stuff implemented there, but feel free to continue to share your ideas for youth activities as well. I know that usually folks can join our working meetings through Zoom. So next Wednesday at 10 a.m., we'll have the meeting to discuss youth activities. So if you have ideas for that, please take the time to share. Thanks again.